ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
And can you imagine, you know, again, I worked as a critical care nurse for a long time. And one of the things that I knew was that if I showed fear in my face to my patients, they knew it. And so something was going on in the room, and I'd have to go in there, and they go, "What's wrong?" "Nothing." "In fact, don't crank your head. Look at that monitor. You're just going to get a stiff neck." I got it. There's no problem here. And it would calm them down. There was another nurse who would go in the room, frantic. And you could just see the anxiety of the patient growing because she was anxious. As a pastor, you got to be in control. Because he's in control. You can't be going nuts. "Oh my God, what are we going to do? Oh my, oh no!" Trust in the Lord, because everyone is looking to you to see where you're going. People wonder, why I didn't speak more about the coronavirus or the elections or this or that? Because I'd rather speak about Jesus Christ. Because you know what? This will go and something else will come down the pike. And that will go and something else will come down the pike. And it will keep coming until the Lord returns. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't learn about prophecy. We should. We shouldn't look at the things that are happening in this world. It's important. But are we so consumed with it that we don't have time for the Lord? Something we have to evaluate in our own lives. For me, I'm sorry, I am not going to spend a study talking about something that, in the end, the Lord is not nervous about. So I'm going to share Jesus. I'm going to share his word because you know what? God's word is living and powerful. It's able to transform our lives. It's like a surgical instrument that cuts away areas in our life that need to be removed, exposed, so we become more sensitive to the Lord. See, that's the heart of a shepherd caring for the sheep. Peter said in 1 Peter 5, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly. Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." So we've seen that the shepherd has so much concern for his sheep, he's willing to die for his sheep. And not only that, he has a love for his sheep. But I don't think that's what Jonathan had for Micah. Not at all. But Micah wants his own personal priest who would legitimize, remember the shrine he had made of the carved image and all. And here's the thing. I don't care who it is. Man cannot legitimize anything we do. Only God can. And if we're serving him, walking as he's called us to walk, that's all we need to encourage us to continue on. We don't need a man to legitimize the work. Now, people wonder, how do you raise up leaders within the church? I don't. I don't raise up leaders. God does. I just watch people. And when I see what God's doing in the lives of people, I talk with them. I see where they're involved in ministry. And I see that they don't even need a title to serve. When people need titles to serve, it's just going to be a disaster. Because they always want the recognition. We're bond slaves of Jesus Christ. We're slaves of Jesus Christ. Freely. So you don't need a title, you just serve. So I let God do the raising up. And I just watch what God is doing in people's lives. But for Micah, Morgan said, Micah was attempting to maintain his relationship with God by violating the commands of God. The Levite degenerated into an attempt to secure his own material comfort by compromise. That's exactly what he's doing. I'm going to get paid, I'm going to get some clothes, I'm going to get fed. I've got all these things coming in. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Wow. And that leads to the last point, doing what's right in their own eyes. Look at verse 11 here in Judges chapter 17. Then the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man became like one of his sons to him. So Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest. He lived in the house of Micah. Then Micah said, "Now I know that the Lord, Yahweh, will be good to me, since I have a Levite as priest." Now let me ask you this. Was Micah sincere about what he was doing? Absolutely he was sincere. Absolutely. There is no doubt in my mind. This was a very sincere religious man. But he was totally wrong. You can be very sincere and wrong. Sincerity is nice, but if it's not coupled with truth, it's worthless. Think about it. You could be very sincere saying, "I am going to swim across the Pacific Ocean." And you can be so absolutely sincere, confident, "I am going to do this." You're going to drown, or they're going to pull you out. It's not going to happen. Because sincerity doesn't equal reality. I mean, for Micah, how warped his mind was. He thinks now that he has a priest to attend to the shrine that he's made, that God's going to bless him and his household. This Levite necessarily. We're not told that, but he was from the tribe of Levi. Why did they move so far away from what God had said? Because they had nothing to guide them. And when you start getting off course, it's not long before you're totally lost, not knowing where you're going. You know, and I've used this illustration before, but if you're flying from California to Hawaii and you're off by 1 degree, you're going to miss the island of Hawaii just by being off 1 degree. Satan doesn't have to give us a lot of lies. He just needs a little bit to start steering us away. And I've seen people take those little lies and run with them. There's people today who are listening to teachers that are saying, "We're in the tribulation period now." I'm like, are you kidding me? Really? First of all, why is Jesus Christ beating up his bride if we're in the tribulation period? Well, aren't we being persecuted and all today? Well, absolutely, but that's not from God. When I read Revelation, when that first seal is opened, it's Jesus Christ that opens the first seal and the Antichrist is revealed. That's the wrath of God beginning to be poured out upon a Christ-rejecting world. Who's the Antichrist? You see, there's so many things. You just need a little air and people will run with it for miles. And it's amazing the things that they can make up regarding the end times. Just read the scriptures. We're not appointed for wrath, the wrath of God. So we got to be careful. We got to stay on track. We need a compass. And the compass is the Word of God. It's really simple. It's just the Word of God opened up to us by the Spirit of God. And you're not going to go astray when you are guided by the instruments that God has given to us to keep us on track. And this Levite should have known the Word of God. I'm sure he probably did. He didn't agree with it, and he did it his own way. And remember, you know, these songs and these sayings, because they reflect what was going on in Israel and I think what's going on in our nation today. Remember what Frank Sinatra sang? "I did it my way," right? That's never a good thing. Burger King, "Have it your way." Or those songs from the 60s, "I Gotta Be Me," or "Born Free." Hey, I can do whatever I want. And it doesn't work because when we do things that are right in our own eyes, God's not going to accept it. And it's going to lead to some difficult days in our lives. Micah was very sincere in what he was doing, and I believe Jonathan the Levite was sincere as well. But they didn't have the truth of God from the Word of God, and they were sincerely wrong. Look at people today, religious people today. There are some that are very, very religious, right? Very devout. There are some Muslims, you know, praying all the time, right? Catholics going to church all the time. There are some very, very devout religious people. But are they saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone? No. So it doesn't matter your sincerity. you have to mix it with truth, like I said before. Truth has to be there. And Jesus said, Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth, in John 17:17. The father of lies is the devil. And if God's word is truth, can he lie to us? God can't. So I'm going to trust what God has said and not listen necessarily to the words of man. Again, there are great men out there that have written great books, but they're still men. God's word is 100% truth. We can learn from some of these people, these godly men. But again, don't replace what God has written with what they have written. And that's what some have done in the church today. I've told you before. Some Christian Bible studies, home groups, are other books, not the Bible. And they call them Bible studies, but it's a book club. No, I'm really sorry. Give me the truth. If you want to read another book on your own time, praise God, but let's get into the Word. And isn't it amazing how the Jonathans and Micahs always find each other? It is scriptural, and they do need each other. Remember what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Isn't that interesting? They find each other. I want someone to tickle my ears. I want to feel good. Oh, that's a good guy. I like him. He makes me feel good. Wow. But our responsibility, Paul says, is to preach the word, to be ready in season and out of season, to convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Yeah, why? Because the time's going to come when they're not going to endure sound doctrine. There's always going to be false doctrine out there. Our responsibility is not to embrace it, but to expose it with the Word of God. And there are seasons when people don't want to hear the Word of God. That's so true. But the reality is, don't let it stop you from sharing. It doesn't matter what season we're in. I just know when I was growing up, I had to eat my vegetables. And they were not in season for me. But my parents still made me eat them. And it was needed for my body physically to be healthy. Spiritually, we need the Word of God for our spirits, the inner man, to be healthy. But there is such pressure today for pastors to keep drawing the people in. They have huge budgets that are difficult to maintain. And they don't want to offend anyone. And that's a dangerous thing, because then what happens is you only teach on things that won't offend people. And I don't know about you, but a lot of times as I'm going through these studies, God has convicted my heart. I don't always like it. For me, this study is really for me, to be steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It doesn't matter what happens. Let me just share this with you. One writer put it like this. He said, ear-tickling sells. Anyone doubting that should stand outside a typical church on a Sunday morning and listen. I like the way he preaches. He makes me feel good. I don't like what I hear. I'm not sure what it is about that preacher, but I don't like him. I like, I don't like, I feel, I don't feel. I find that interesting. You know, in all my years up here, when people call looking for a church, it's very, very rare that I hear someone say, what do you believe? Very rare. I hear them ask, how many singles do you have? Thinking, man, I could be teaching that Jesus is in a Hale-Bopp comet, coming to us, right? And they don't care. Hey, you got singles there? I'm coming. No. What do you teach? What do you believe? He goes on, what I want in a church, what we're looking for, why we're considering leaving, on and on ad infinitum. People want what they want. And with the availability of churches of all stripes and colors, varieties of sizes, architecture, programs, music, preaching, doctrine, no one needs stay where they're unhappy, so they keep moving. And so pastors keep studying what people want in a church. And lay leadership keeps polling the congregation what you want in a pastor. Isn't that interesting? Polling people, you know, going through a neighborhood going, hey, what do you want in a church? Well, why don't you go to God? You know, ask him what do you want, right? He says, God help us. In the Peanuts comic strip, the children were writing an assignment about their summer vacation. Linus was hard at work. He wrote something like, even though I had a lot of fun this summer, at the beach, going to the movies, playing ball, and vacationing with my family, I could not wait to return to the hallowed halls of learning. I missed my amazing school, my wonderful books, and my outstanding teacher. I'm so happy I'm back. He handed in the paper, then stood there while the teacher read it. He says, an A plus? Thank you very much, ma'am. As he leaves the room, he remarks to another child, as the years come and go, one learns what sells. Wow. Isn't that applicable to the church today? Learning what sells. It says, many a pastor has figured out what sells and has determined to offer a steady menu of that to their congregations. This is powered by a lot of things: personal ambition, job security, drawing crowds, increasing the budget, and getting noticed. The flesh craves what it wants. The gospel of ear tickling says pastors should speak nice words, never rock the boat, and choose only those doctrines that the locals agree on. Or even better, avoid doctrine altogether and stay with topics sure to draw the crowd. How to be a winner in a losing world. How to overcome your low self-esteem. How to be popular and still please God. How to romance your spouse. How to have perfect children. In his final warning to the church, specifically to young pastor Timothy, but through him to us, Paul implies that sound doctrine may be unpleasant to the ear. The truth of God preached by a faithful disciple of the Lord Jesus does a lot of things. It rebukes our self-centeredness. It holds us to a higher standard. It is like surgery or medicine in that for the short term it can be painful, but the result of which is health. This is why only courageous leaders should be chosen by churches. They understand these things and are willing to pay the price. Others are not. Wow, he nails it. You know, for Micah, he had this molded image, his carved image, and now he has Jonathan to authenticate what he's doing, to justify what he's doing. And that last point, doing what's right in their own eyes. It's what made them feel good, made them happy. And here's the thing. If you want to destroy a nation, you destroy the family so that future generations don't know good from evil. They don't know right from wrong, and thus the world can conform them into their image. And we're seeing that played out in our nation today and in the world. I mean, look at the number of kids, even Christian kids, that are for socialism. They think it's a good thing. If I was a teacher, I would take them to Venezuela and show them, hands on. This is what socialism comes to. Why? Because you run out of money. The government has $0. All the money they get is from the people living there. And once that money is gone, all those programs are gone too. All the food is gone. So you destroy the family. If you want to destroy a nation, you destroy the church. And you destroy the church by filling it with unbiblical teaching, drawing people away from saving faith, getting them involved in areas that are of no value. And we see it played out in the churches today. I mean, look at how many churches were, you know, protesting with Black Lives Matter. My response is, go look at their website. Do you agree with what they say? I hate to tell you, and I really hate filling this out on different forms, when it says, you know, you're white, black, whatever, Hispanic. I'm not white. You know, white is, here it is. This is white right here. I'm not that white. I'm a shade. We're all different shades, right? So why are we differentiating? And Black Lives Matter is a socialist, Marxist organization. That's what their leaders tell us. They're proud of it. So we start getting involved into social justice. You know what social justice is? Social justice is, I want to get away with a crime. I don't want to be accountable for it. Oh, how could you say that? Because it's easy. We already have justice. Social justice is meaningless. It's either you have justice or you don't have justice. And yet the church is involved in this. The church is involved in so many social things. And I'm not saying that's wrong. But if you don't bring Jesus Christ into the picture, you're in serious trouble. Because now you're helping people and sending them to hell. So what's the point? You've only helped them for a few years. They got eternity to thank you for that. Remember what the church is to be about. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 3:15. He says, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. There it is. It's pretty simple. That's what we're about. How do I know more about God? I get into his word. How do I know more about myself? I get into his word. How do I get along with other people? I got to read the word of God. On and on and on. It's all here for us to live by. Next time, as we finish up this section, we're going to look at destruction of society and the government. And I don't know about you, but man, you just have to look at what's going on in our government today. It's amazing how fast things have changed. And it's very possible that the whole dynamics of our democracy is going to be changed within the next several months to next 4 years. Completely changed. We won't be a democracy anymore. And I think we've seen it with this election, because I really didn't want to get down this path, but I'll go there anyway. When we're supposed to be a republic, but not anymore. But we're a socialist nation. How can I say that? Because in a socialist nation, you still get to vote, but your vote doesn't count because we're going to put into office whoever we want. Oh, we're already there, aren't we? What are we going to do about it? We are going to stand strong on the things of God and shine brightly. This is where we're at today, guys. Do I like it? No, but I do know that the Lord's coming back. And he's either going to come back for his church and we're going to be raptured, or I'm going to go to be with him before that happens. And either way, I don't lose. Will it get tough? I think it will. I truly believe that, like in Canada, the Bible, some parts of it are hateful, and you can't teach on that anymore. Am I going to obey man rather than God? I'm sorry, I'm going to obey God. You know, you can say all you want, but when you tell me I can't teach from the Bible, I don't care who you are. I'm going to teach from it. When you say I can't speak about Jesus Christ anymore, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that no man comes to the Father except through him, I'm going to speak about him. Why? Because he alone has the words of eternal life. Why would I shut that down? Why don't they shut down Buddha, Muhammad, Confucius, or any of these other things, right? Why are they only picking on Jesus Christ and his word, because it's the truth? It causes us to say, praise God, man. We could be that generation that closes out church history. Let's live for him, right? You see, I want to close with this. What Paul said in Acts 20, verse 24. As he was going to go to Jerusalem, and he was being warned, hey, chains and tribulation awaits you there. Don't go, Paul, please don't go. And Paul said, look, guys, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And we see that he finished the race. He fought the good fight. He kept the faith, right? He did that in spite of all those difficulties that he encountered, because he kept his eyes on Jesus. And that's what we need to do. Keep our eyes on the Lord, guys. Amen? All right, let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you so much for your word this morning, Lord. Lord, again, looking in Judges, it's kind of dark, and you look at what's going on in our churches today, and a lot of them, it's hard. It's getting dark. But Lord, you do have your faithful remnant. You got those that just truly love you and are focused upon you and your word and want to live for you. And we're thankful for that. We pray for those other churches that are struggling and that have moved away from the truths of God found in the word of God. Lord, stir their hearts and draw them back. Help them to give the people what they need to be true shepherds, that they would build their people up, and that people would stand strong in the faith and know what's right from wrong. That we wouldn't be worshiping God any way we want, but we'd worship you, Lord, in spirit and truth. We love you so much. Lord, help us to continue to draw close to you, and don't let anything move us from the course that you set for our lives. We love you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.